chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. I think it's significant that of the two books of the Bible named after women, one was a Jewish girl who married a Gentile, I'm referring to Esther, and the other was a Gentile who married a Hebrew, and I'm referring to Ruth, both having a part in God's redemptive history. So Ruth chapter 1 verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. As we begin this study of the book of Ruth, let's look at some background notes. Background notes that will help us to understand better the message of this book. The events recorded here took place during the times of the judges. As most of you would know, after Joshua had conquered the land of Canaan, there was a period of about 350 years when Israel was ruled by judges. This, of course, was before the times of the kings of Israel, Saul, David, and Solomon. And we need to understand, although the book of Ruth comes after the book of Judges, in our Bible anyhow, chronologically it doesn't follow Judges, rather the events took place during the period of the Judges. And to read the book in that context makes us feel we've come to an oasis in the desert. Why do I say that? Because the period of the judges was not a bright spot in Israel's history. It was a time when the people departed from the Lord. Again and again, spiritual decline and spiritual decay sapped the spiritual life and energy of the nation. Indeed, it became so bad, we read in Judges 17, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Twice we read that. And that's why the book of Ruth is an oasis in this desert of spiritual decline. Have you ever read the final chapters of Judges? If you have, you'll understand what I'm saying and appreciate how refreshing it is to come to this beautiful story of Ruth where God's sovereign grace is at work in spite of man's immorality and idolatry. Just a few more background notes. In verse 1 we read there was a famine in the land of Israel, and anyone familiar with the Old Testament will know that when there was a famine in the land of Israel, it was often the result of God's discipline being brought about because of Israel's idolatry and them turning away from the Lord. Remember the famines during the days of Elijah and Elisha? In the books of the law, God said if the people followed him, he would bless them and their land would be productive. But if they didn't follow him and obey his law, then he would not bless them. And he would withhold the rain from the land. I'm reading now from Deuteronomy chapter 11. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then, the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no more rain, that the land yield not her fruit. And it was during one of these periods of discipline that a Hebrew by the name of Elimelech decided to take his family to the neighbouring country of Moab to escape the famine God had sent. You ask, why Moab? Well, one reason was that Elimelech would have been able to look southeast from Bethlehem across the Jordan Valley and the Dead Sea and actually see the green hills of Moab. The journey was only about 80 to 100 kilometres. Elimelech couldn't travel west because the Philistines, Israel's enemies, controlled the roads leading to Egypt. So he opted for Moab until the famine was over, which was a major decision for him and his family. Nowadays, 100 kilometres is only a hop, step and a jump. It's not far at all, but in those days when you walked the whole distance and one's possessions and living arrangements had to be manually carried on the shoulders, it was a major undertaking. And then in verse 2 it says they were Ephrathites. And because Ephrath was the ancient name for Bethlehem, it meant all the family roots were there. This again was another major decision for Elimelech and his family to make. But then we're told Elimelech died in Moab, leaving his widow there. And that wasn't all. We're also told his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who had married Moabite women, also died, which left Naomi bereft of her husband and also her two sons. So much for background notes. Let's move now to the doctrinal points, the teaching points in this passage. And there are two, and they have to do with decision making. First, we see Elimelech making a decision that had long-lasting consequences, and that teaches us, as believers, we should never make decisions based only on immediate circumstances. Yet that's what Elimelech did. He made a major decision, a life-changing decision, based on his immediate circumstances. Not a good idea, was it? You can hear Elimelech saying, we've got to get out of here, we'll starve to death. Let's go to Moab. His decision? A reaction to his immediate circumstances. He didn't consider the possible long-range negative consequences. He didn't think about God's covenant with Israel, that God wanted his people to stay in the land of promise regardless of circumstances. Elimelech didn't think about that. He didn't think about the effect of Moab on his family, that the Moabites worshipped a pagan god and offered human sacrifices to that god. And what about Elimelech's two sons? Would they grow up and get jobs in Moab? Would they marry Moabite women and raise their families in a country and culture opposed to the only true God? Even the law warned against such marriages. In Deuteronomy 23 we read, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. I believe Elimelech made a mistake. Yes, God eventually worked through those mistakes to accomplish his plans and purposes, he did. But that still didn't justify Elimelech making a wrong decision, a decision based only on the immediate circumstances which he didn't think through. As I've said, none of us should ever make a decision based only on immediate circumstances. But you say, doesn't God sometimes use circumstances to help us make a decision? He does. But let's be careful, because Satan can also manipulate circumstances to his advantage. Let me illustrate what I mean. I know of a gifted preacher who left the Lord's work in a time of spiritual famine. He felt that there was not enough fruit and blessing in his ministry, and so he decided to take a secular job which he regarded as the Lord's provision. But do you know that man lost all interest in the things of the Lord? He made a decision taking into account his immediate circumstances. Be careful about making quick decisions when it involves leaving Christian service. Be it the Sunday school, the youth club, or whatever you've been doing for the Lord. Think carefully before you leave that work. Another point. Believers should never make decisions based only on human reasoning. This is what Elimelech did when confronted with the famine. We don't read he prayed before making his decision. Nor does it seem he took into account God's word about the consequences leaving the land of Israel. No. Elimelech reacted to the circumstances with human reasoning. After all, there were the greener hills of Moab not very far away. Maybe he reasoned they would only be there a short time. Maybe he reasoned he and Naomi would come back to the land of Israel again before there were any bad effects on the family. But human reasoning can't see the future. Elimelech didn't know he would change his mind and decide to remain in Moab. We see that in the two different words used here. In verse 1, the word sojourn is used. Obviously, Elimelech's initial plan was to simply sojourn in the land. But at the end of verse 2, we read he continued there or remained there. That tells us he had a change of mind. Obviously, Elimelech had no idea he would only have a short time to live and he would soon die in Moab. Some commentators even suggest what happened might even be God's discipline for leaving the land of promise. In any case, I imagine Elimelech didn't envisage that his wife Naomi would become a widow in Moab, and that his sons growing up in that idolatrous country would marry Moabite women. Even the death of his sons could have been a result of God's discipline. Obviously, Elimelech had not taken these things into account when he left Bethlehem. Of course, all of us at times have to use human reasoning to make decisions. Of course we do. God has given us the intelligence to do that. But what I'm saying is we should never make decisions based only on human reasoning. But when we do make decisions, we first need to pray about it, because it's only God who knows the future. And what's more, we need to be familiar with God's word so that the decisions we make are based only on biblical principles and not on human reasoning. Now, the practical application. Remember, the decisions you make in life will make you the person you are to be. The decisions you make will make you the person you are to be. And this works in both a negative and a positive way. You see, if we make a wrong decision, a decision based only on circumstances and human reasoning, we will have to live with the sad consequences of a life out of fellowship with God's will. On the other hand, if we pray and seek God's will and use biblical guidelines instead of just circumstances and human reasoning, then our lives will be moulded by the results of good decisions. I could give you story after story of men whom I have known in my life. Young men who became Christian leaders and yet their lives ended in tragedy because they made a decision based on human reasoning and expediency. Conversely, I could tell you of young men, Christian leaders, who when they had to make a decision, made the right one because they prayed about it and followed biblical principles, and they went on to live lives that brought glory to God. Let's now come down to verses 6 to 8. In these verses we have Naomi's decision to return to the land of Israel. We also have the decisions that were made by her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And the decision Orpah made was she decided to return to Moab and the gods of Moab. But Ruth decides to remain with Naomi and come to the land of Israel and put her faith in Israel's God. Verse 6, then she, that is Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to the return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them that they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking with her. I want you to notice, in verse 6, that it was the Lord who brought bread to Israel. It wasn't nature, or the pagan gods who supposedly control the fertility of the land. It was God who provided the bread. He did then, and he does today. That's why we should pray, give us this day our daily bread. And notice also, it was the Lord who triggered Naomi's decision to return to a home in Israel. God is always the one who in sovereign grace makes the first move to help us make right decisions. But there's something else that I want you to notice here. Somewhere on the road back to Judah, the three widows stopped for a while and Naomi began to urge her daughters-in-law to return home. She was saying, look, you girls, you don't have to return with me to Judah. In fact, it would be crazy if you do. There's no future there for you. Look at me, I'm too old to marry again, and even if I did, I'm too old to bear more sons. Use your common sense, girls.
Go back home and find yourselves a husband in Moab. And Orpah took Naomi's advice and returned home. But not Ruth. She wouldn't turn back, and nothing could persuade her to turn back, to separate from Naomi. Now, before I go further, perhaps I should say something about the advice Naomi gave to Ruth and Orpah when she suggested they return to Moab. I can hear somebody saying, what kind of counsel is that? Moab was a pagan country that worshipped false gods. Why didn't Naomi counsel her daughters-in-law to return with her to the land of Israel? Well, we need to remember Naomi wasn't strong in faith at this particular time. Yes, she made the right decision to return to Judah, but her relationship with the Lord wasn't the greatest. Not at this point, anyhow. She certainly didn't have the joy of the Lord in her soul. Look at what she says in verse 13. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And then look at what she says in verses 20 and 21. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? And I guess that's why Naomi counseled Orpah and Ruth to return to Moab. Also, widows had no means of support in those days. And Naomi would have been concerned about Ruth and Orpah's support. Nevertheless, I would have thought Naomi would have counseled her daughters-in-law otherwise. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to what the passage is teaching us. And again, it has to do with decision-making. The right decision may not be an easy choice. Sometimes it is, of course, but not always. Sometimes it will cost us. But that's when we glorify God, and what we do when we're prepared to deny ourselves. Now, verses 19 to 22. In this section, we have the return of Ruth and Naomi to Bethlehem. So let's read what it says. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. In verse 4, we see that 10 years had passed since Naomi, with her husband, had left Bethlehem for Moab. And now she is a widow with no sons. Elimelech had died unexpectedly, and so had his two sons. As we've seen, maybe all three deaths were a sign of God's discipline for leaving God's land of promise and going to a pagan land, and for intermarrying with the Moabites who worship foreign gods. That is not for us to say, but it does seem probable. Wouldn't you agree? After all, we read in both Ezra and Nehemiah that if an Israelite married a Moabite, it was considered a sin and required discipline. Anyway, Naomi had now decided to return to Bethlehem. She'd heard that the years of famine were over, and once again there was bread in Israel. And in verse 2 we read, when she returned to Bethlehem, the women in the city said, is this Naomi? Which was probably not so much a statement of joy, but one more of surprise and shock. You see, time had taken its toll on Naomi. And I guess that's why she responded in verse 20 by saying, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Obviously, Naomi didn't have the joy of the Lord in her soul, and she realized her bitter experience was the result of God's discipline in her life. And that's why she says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Notice, by the way, the people who stayed in Bethlehem and didn't move during the time of famine, they didn't starve to death. And they fared much better than Elimelech and his family who had left the land. And then in verse 22 we read, Naomi had returned at the beginning of the barley harvest. That would be the spring. It would be April or May. And this verse prepares us for the happy events that are about to follow in the rest of the book, where we will see God continuing to work out his sovereign plan in the lives of these people. But let's put our finger on another point of doctrine here. Naomi's life is a picture of the history of Israel. Let me repeat that. Naomi's life is a picture of the history of Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, we have a number of spiritual pictures that God has included in his word to illustrate this point. And in the book of Ruth itself, we have several pictures drawn from the characters we read about. The outstanding picture, of course, is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And we will see that Boaz is a wonderful picture of or type of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. The Lord is our kinsman or relative in that he became man, but he's also our redeemer. And in Naomi we have a picture of God dealing with the nation of Israel. In fact, Naomi and Elimelech together are a picture of Israel. Elimelech's name means God is king. And in the beginning of Israel's history, God was indeed king. But just as Elimelech didn't live up to his name, so Israel didn't continue to make God her king. She turned away from God and his law. And as Elimelech and his family left the land of promise and went to a foreign land with its pagan gods, so Israel turned away from God to worship foreign idols. And as God brought discipline and hard times to Naomi, so God has had to discipline the Jewish people. As you all know, the Jews have suffered terribly throughout history. And they will continue to suffer until the return of the Lord, when they return to the Lord, and the Lord returns for them. The situation at the moment is the nation of Israel has been set aside temporarily from the place of privilege and blessing. And all this is pictured in Naomi's statements in verses 20 and 21. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. But now we come to the good news about Israel. Because of the hard times, Naomi returned, and because of the hard times, Naomi recognized and acknowledged that God rightly afflicted her. We saw that in the verses we read. And in the same way, because of the hard times and the tribulation yet to come, the nation of Israel, as a widow in need, will return to the Lord. And they will not only return to the land, as we see them already doing, but they will return to the Lord, acknowledging the Messiah whom they have rejected for so long. And they will acknowledge and confess their sins. And this will be a time of great blessing for Israel, just as there came a great time of blessing for Naomi when she returned. May God bless his word to us.